This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Father, we thank you that you're present here, Father, and thank you that you desire to meet with your children, Father. And we just come before you, Father, and we want to sing songs that bring you glory, Father, and that bring your name higher, Father. And thank you that we can gather as family and as friends, and that you are in our midst, Father. You're in our hearts. And we give you this time of praise, Father. Have your way, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus, you are the Savior of our soul. your seats for a moment. I was just busy thinking. Marco asked me to share after he does offering, and there's very few times in my life that I've ever been speechless when I had to share about worship. But I think I went to South Africa to record with our band for the last 10 days, and it was hectic, 15-hour days. But I was just like really, really reminded that worship, even though we were recording and thinking about music all the time, and my brain is a little bit fried, in that thinking about music all the time, I realized that it's worship that we do is so much more than the music. So much more. And I don't know, I think somewhere in the week that we were busy recording, I just kind of lost words for how intensely God loves us and how intensely He wants us to glorify Him and through everything that we do, and that it is more than music. The music facilitates a special thing between us and God when we're together and we're celebrating. But I just felt challenged and inspired to live a life that's worship. To do everything that like it's worship, you know? And so I'm speechless today. I don't have a speech. But let's just spend just a few moments before we start singing, just consecrating ourselves to God, not only for today, but for this week coming, for this year coming, for this month. I believe that we continuously need to remind ourselves this year why we're doing what we do and why we're worshiping. And that's because we love God and He deserves to be worshiped and glorified in everything. So yeah, let's just spend a moment. Father, I just want to come and say thank you, Father, for the gifts that we have. Some of us to sing, some of us to make music, Father, but the most of us for mathematics, for building, for designing, for being creative, for managing, for accounting. So many gifts, Father, that you've given us to worship with, Lord. Not only the music that we do today, Father, but I do pray, Lord, that as we stand here, Father God, that we can come before you with the fullness of who we are, Father God, with the best of everything that we have to give. We bring it to you. We bring it to your throne, Father God, and we say, this is who we are, Lord. And with all that we are, Father, we want to worship you, Father God. Beyond the singing, beyond the words, Father, we want to breathe into the spiritual realm, the truth, that you deserve to be worshipped, you deserve to be glorified, you deserved every percentage, every ounce, every moment of our time now, Father God. So we just lay aside all the distractions, Lord. We lay aside all the feelings, all the emotions that we bring into this place, Father God, and we say, this is the time that we have with you, Lord. As a church, as a family, as a congregation, Lord, we come together and we join in what's happening in heaven. We praise you, Father God. Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. He rules. He
reigns with eyes ablaze. Heaven's hosts and angels sing, gathered around our servant King in praise. Holy is His name. Let's sing it. There's one. There is one whose love has overcome the grip of death and the curse of sin. He rules, He reigns with eyes ablaze. And heaven's hosts and angels sing, gathered around a servant King in praise. Holy is His name. And heaven's Son was crushed for. The chasm with His blood. Christ alone has defeated every power. Christ alone is worthy of our honor. Christ alone be praised forevermore. Of sin, He rules, He reigns with eyes ablaze. And heaven's hosts and angels sing, gather around our servant King in praise. Holy is His name. And heaven's Son was cursed for us. He breached the curse of heaven. Christ alone.
Just the same to me, sing with me.
calls the saints to we sing worthy. Are you love? You will be praised. You will be praised. With angels and saints we sing worthy.
Father, we give you all the glory, we give you all the honor. You are King of Kings and you are Lord of Lords. In this afternoon we want to recognize again, we want to testify it again, we want to say it again. It's on our lips. We want to praise your name, Father. You are King, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you that we can hear again and that we can listen again to what is on your heart, Father, that you're going to share it with us. And I pray that the thoughts which we've got of this week and maybe from this morning, that we can cut it off, that it's not going to disturb us, but that we can focus and that we can hear what is on your heart, Father. Thank you that we can come to you, that we can say, Father, and look up as I speak. We want to listen to you, Father. Share with us what is on your heart. In Jesus' name. Glad you people are back. And when Yolandi sent the songs through to me to put them on easy worship so that we can sing them today, and I had looked at those songs which they've been choosing, and I thought, yeah, it's really the Holy Spirit. You're my King. So when I already started early this week with the sermon, You are my King. The songs that we've got, how many songs? It's each and every time about King, King, King. And that's very important. Before I'm going to start with the sermon, I feel that the Holy Spirit is saying that the Holy Spirit has been talking to a few people during the worship, and that something has been put on your heart. It could be a verse, it could be a picture, it could maybe be something what came up, what you would like to share with us as congregation, which happened then during the worship just now.
My goodness. It applies to what Yolandi said about his love. During worship, I'm a bit of a wreck. I saw an impression of every time that he sinned, that I sinned, he got beaten. And he was just, I felt like he was saying to me, I did it for you. I loved you so much that I took upon the cross for you. I did it for you. And it just made me realize that he is so deserving in, you know, to be praised and to be glorified. And it was just this revelation, a deeper revelation of his love. Just, it's so intense. I can't even put it in words. But yeah, I just, I don't know.
Okay, while we were singing the last song, you guys really took us deep. It was cool. yeah, I just really felt God saying, there's no other option. There's really no other option than following him, like excelling in your career or like doing what's fun or traveling or whatever it may be that excites you and it feels somewhat accomplished. It's all rubbish. And not that we shouldn't do work and cook and eat and go to the bathroom and all the stuff we need to do. Like God's okay with doing the worthless things. They're just still worthless. And I just got this verse, sorry, my English. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. For his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things that I might count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. So if you don't count everything as loss, then you cannot gain Christ. And just another verse that David said, he said, turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. So you can ask God to change that. You cannot change it by your own works. That's all.
Thanks a lot, Steph. Thank you for being obedient as well. Before I'm going to carry on, you're my king, I'm going to ask you to just quickly 2-2 next to each other and tell each other who is your king. I'm not going to ask each and every one to answer on it, but I think it's most probably going to be something like, and I'm referring to the Dutch people over here, they will say, King Willem-Alexander is my king. I'm staying in the Netherlands and he's my king. But it's written with a smaller case, with a lower case. And then of the others, they must probably have said, God is my king. And it's written with a capital. And those are most probably the answers which you've given to each other, that you said, okay, that's my king. It's King Willem-Alexander, or it is God who is my king. And if we take a look at the kings, and if we take a look at history, and if we really go back quite far, even in the Old Testament, then we would have seen that a king always had certain responsibilities and authorities what he had to do. Am I in your way? It was his responsibility to maintain peace in the realm. He had to oversee the administration. He had to uphold any law. He had to defend the law. He had to rule justly, and he had to maintain the peace, and he also had to serve as a protector for the poor. So that was his responsibility, and that was his authority. That's what he was doing. And the king was actually the people who were serving him. He was serving the people again. And the king was even prepared to die for the people, because if it was a war, he would go first. But if we take a look at how things were developing, then we see that governments were put into place, and the governments were taking over of these responsibilities and of these authorities of the king. And I'm saying with respect now, if the Netherlands would go into war now, I don't think that King Willem-Alexander is going to be up front. I don't think it's going to happen. Things have changed. So to maintain the peace and to uphold the law that has been given then to government and centralized government, so the responsibility and the authority has been changed by the people to suit the kingdom. This is now, if we say King Willem-Alexander is our king. If we go and say, okay, God is my king, and that is with the uppercase, that's with a capital, God has never changed. He's always the same. He's always doing exactly the same. He's always keeping his promises. He's never going to deviate from it. It's always going to be the same. And that the way that we're allowing God to live in our lives, that has changed. And that is sometimes changing. And it could even change on a daily basis. It could maybe be that you're prepared to listen to the king on a Sunday, But from Monday to Friday, you're not listening to the king because you haven't got time. There are other things what you're busy with. So there's a difference between King Willem-Alexander, lowercase, and God is my king, with capital, with an uppercase. And if we've got a king, then of course we've got a kingdom. Then we've got an area, or we've got people where they are king about, because that is where they are king over and where they are reigning. And where I would like you to take you this afternoon first is to have a look at the Our Father prayer. And I'm going to read it from verse 5. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the street, that they may be seen by men. Surely, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. And in this manner, therefore, pray. And then our Father comes. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us in temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And if we take a look at when before Jesus starts to explain the disciples of what prayer they had to do to Our Father, he gives them two warnings. And the first warning is that it shouldn't be for themselves, like the Pharisees were doing, the hypocrites, because they were standing on a corner of the street and they were praying that they could be seen by man. That's not where it is about. If we're praying, we go to in our inner room. This is that next part what Jesus has been talking about. And then he also says, do not use vain repetitions, that we're continuously repeating stuff. And I've got to say somewhere a little bit with respect that certain people are repeating certain things in the church continuously, exactly the same. And at the final end, you're not actually thinking what you're saying anymore. You're just repeating. And this is what God doesn't want. Because if I'm going to speak to my wife continuously the same sentence each and every day, each and every time, at a certain time, she'll most probably say, but are you really, is that really true what you're saying? But if I put it each and every time in another type of sentence and I say, today I love you, and the next day I say, you're beautiful, and the next day I say, but I need you, and the next day I say, I'm glad I'm married to you. It's each and every time, it's something different, but it's coming back to the same. The Lord wants us exactly the same. He doesn't want us that we continuously say to God, you are king, and next morning again, you are king. That's not where it is about. What is the content? We've got to change that. We've got to continuously change that a little bit. And the only prayer what I can think of, what Jesus has been praying twice, is when he went into the garden before he was crucified. He had to pray, and he prayed again. It says he prayed exactly the same again. Other times, he prayed continuously differently. He wasn't repeating himself. And when we pray to God, we worship him. We pray earnestly also when we speak to the Father. And it's our Father. And it's actually so beautiful that we can, that Jesus is saying together with us, we can come to the Father and we can say, our Father, we can speak to him. We are his offspring, so we can say Father. We've been created by him, so we can say that, Father. And we pray only through God. We're not praying through saints or angels or anything like that. We pray to our Father. We pray to God, and Jesus is giving us that option that we can come and that we can go through him. So there we've got it now in the Our Father where it says, your kingdom come. Jesus was also mentioning it when he was preaching. He was also telling the people, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist, just before that, said exactly the same. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And when Jesus was sending out his disciples, he said the same. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So it was a very important part of it. If we can see it, it's in our Father. It was the first sentence with John the Baptist, with Jesus, what the disciples had to say. So it is important. But what does it actually mean? The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. What does it actually mean? And it's actually very short and easy and sweet, where God reigns. That's where the kingdom of heaven is. This is where the kingdom of God is. If God is reigning over there, then it is the kingdom of God. In a worldly realm, of in a worldly kingdom, we've got a realm. We've got, let's say, the Netherlands. We've got the Dutch people. So we've got two things that we can connect up to the kingdom. But in the spiritual realm, we haven't got it. It's the kingdom of God, of the kingdom of God, and that is not related. That's not the same as what we've got with the kingdom of King Willem-Alexander over here in the Netherlands. But the kingdom of God rules over all. In Psalm 103 we read, the Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. So God's kingdom is above all. It's not that God's kingdom has got to compete with other kingdoms. God's kingdom is above all. His kingdom rules over all. And his reign is everywhere, and his reign is over all. And then the other question which sometimes comes, when is God's kingdom going to start? God's kingdom is already here, and God's kingdom is going to come. So I'm basically giving two different answers, but this is what is happening. God's kingdom is already over here. God is reigning, and God's kingdom is going to come at the places where God is going to reign, and we're going to see it on the last day when Jesus is going to come the second time, that God is really king. In Luke 11, verses 20, Jesus is saying over there, but if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. We can see that something is happening over there. God is reigning, and this is where we can see the kingdom of God is. In Luke 17, verses 20, it says, now when he was asked, that is Jesus then, by the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observations, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you, it's inside you. The Pharisees were thinking that if the Messiah was going to come, he was going to defeat the Romans, and he is going to start reigning over there in Israel, and it's going to be the kingdom again as what it was at that time in David. That's what the Pharisees had in mind, and that's what they were asking. When does the kingdom of God, when is it going to come? And then he said, but the kingdom of God is not coming like that. The kingdom of God is coming when we allow God to reign in our lives. Because God is, if we allow God to reign in our lives, if we accept Jesus Christ, and if we accept the redeeming function, what Jesus is doing, then God the King, he's then reigning in our lives. Then the kingdom of God has come. In Romans 14, verses 17, Paul is writing to the Romans, and he's saying over there, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. What Paul is writing over there, he said, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. So the kingdom of God is not cultures, it's not rituals, it's not earthly stuff, but it's something in a spirit, something supernatural. But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And the kingdom of God is when a man is under the power and under the influence of God, when God reigns in his life. This is when the kingdom of God is working in us. And I read a certain part of what John Piper has been writing about this specific verse, about for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And then he is trying to explain the kingdom of God. What does it actually mean? And what does Paul say about it? And the first thing what he says, he means that the reign of God, not the realm of God. Again, the reign of God is supernatural. The realm of God is limited to all people or a piece of ground, which is not the case over here. God is overall, he's supernatural everywhere. The second one, he says, the kingdom of God refers to his saving reign, not to his total providence over, and not to his providence over all things. So it is saving reign, that is that what God is doing. He is reigning, and through that he is reigning, through that we accepting Jesus Christ, that he redeemed for our sins, then we allow that the kingdom of God is living in us. So the kingdom of God is God's reign, not a realm, and his saving, redeeming reign, bringing about the hallowing of his name and a joyful doing of his will. And the third thing what he said over there is, what means the reign of what the kingdom of God means. It says the kingdom of God is fulfilled partially in the present, but it will also in a time to come, and Jesus is going to come back a second time. So there's not actually a time limited to it. We cannot say, okay, God's kingdom is going to start now. As soon as we allow God to reign in our lives, yes, then the kingdom is starting. But it's also when Jesus is going to come back, we also see part of God's kingdom. And then the fourth thing he says over there, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Christ are the same. There we sometimes have got also questions about this, but is it the kingdom of Christ or is it the kingdom of God? It's exactly the same. Ephesians 5 verses 5, it says, for this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, no covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. So it means that the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of God are both of them are exactly the same. And I just want to focus a little bit on that last part where it says righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. It means, in other words, that the work of the Holy Spirit and in the advancing of the kingdom of God are exactly the same thing. And that's actually what is happening. If we allow God to reign in our lives, and if we allow that the Holy Spirit is going to work through us, that's God's kingdom. And that's a limitation which unfortunately is happening in a lot of churches as well, that they will not allow the Holy Spirit. They do not recognize the working of the Holy Spirit. And that is critical, because that's where it is all about. Because then, if the Holy Spirit can work through us, then God's kingdom is working. And then we can say God is king, because he's working through us to benefit the people around us. And the work of the Spirit is the presence of the kingdom of God. And there we can see God is reigning. And if we allow God to reign through us, then the Holy Spirit is working through us. And that is similar. That is God's kingdom and the work of the Holy Spirit. That is what God's kingdom is, if the Holy Spirit is working through us. So the kingdom of God is not food and drink. It's not a bit of what it is. It's righteousness, peace and joy, which comes by the powerful working of the Holy Spirit. So if we are depending on the work of the Holy Spirit, and if we are asking the Holy Spirit to help us, and it is not for us, but it's really for God's kingdom, then we are pleasing God. And then his kingdom is working through us. Coming back again to the king what I spoke about in the beginning, the one who's got his kingdom and in the history books and so on, we could see that things have changed. In the beginning, the king had authority, he had responsibility, and he was doing the things what was going to benefit the people who were in his area and where he was responsible for. But then with time, the king actually has been sidetracked. He's been off his authority and his responsibility has been taken away, and the king has actually been put on the top of, I nearly would say, a parking area, because he's not doing what he is supposed to do anymore, or what he initially was supposed to have been doing. And the duties what he had were taken over by people. So other people were starting to make laws. I'm not quite sure how much involved Willem-Alexander still is with the Dutch government, but I think once a week on a Monday they speak together with the prime minister for a certain period or whatever to update him. But further on, he hasn't got any authority. It's not that he can say, okay, this is now law and this is going to happen. There are more presidents in other countries in the world who've got more authority as what he's got. So that has happened then with time, that the king, that the authority and the responsibility of the king has been taken away, and the king has actually been, I nearly would say, sidetracked. We are doing sometimes the same with God, the king in our lives as well, that we're also sidetracking God, that we say, no, that part I want to do on my own. This is my remote control. I want to handle it. This is my life. I want to do it on my way. I don't want to be totally taken over by the King of Kings and the Lords of Lords, the King with the capital. I want to be in control of certain areas of myself as well. And then we are sidetracking the King of Kings, as what the other king has been sidetracked by other people. In our lives, we sometimes sidetracking God by limiting him in what he can do in our lives. On Thursday evening, we spoke to a guy with the name of, no, I won't give him his name, but we spoke to him, and as we were talking to him, he knew exactly everything. When we asked him, do you know Jesus Christ? He said, yes, he knows Jesus Christ. And we asked him, do you know what Jesus has done for you? And he immediately said everything and so on. I said, well, it sounds very good. I said, you're going through to the next round. I said, but why are you going to church? What is Jesus doing in your life now? Then he says, I haven't got time. So he made time his king in his life. Then he didn't have time for God. He was limiting. He was sidetracking God. He didn't allow God to be total in control, to reign in his life. So in such a guy's life, unfortunately, we don't see God's kingdom over there. Because God is not reigning. He himself is reigning. He's decided, I'm limiting God. I don't want to have God that much in my life. If we take a look at the world around us, they all want us that we should buy a car because we should have the same car as what the neighbors have got. We must have a fancy house because the neighbors have got a fancy house. We must go and have holiday over there because the neighbors have been there on a holiday. All those type of things. And it's all about this, how are we going to feel, what other people are going to say about it afterwards. Let's say I would buy a very fancy vehicle. Then I'm not going to take that vehicle, put it in a garage, take a chair, and go and sit in front of the car and watch that car for 3 or 4 hours. No, I'm not going to do that. Although I'm very proud on that car, but I'm not going to do it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take the car out. I'm going to be in the car. I'll ask my wife to go and sit next to me. And then we drive around for hours that all the people can see this fancy new car that I've got. Because it's very important for me what other people are saying about me. And this was Jesus also saying in the beginning before they started praying. The hypocrites, they were also interested what other people were saying of them. And that's not where it is about. It's sometimes also that when we talk about where Jesus said that we shouldn't repeat the things the whole time, it is structures. Like I said, certain churches are repeating and have got such a strict formula. If you take a look at the liturgy of the flow of the service and the way that they've got certain prayers and how they are working in a whole group of churches, they've got to preach about this, they've got to do that. They're so limited. There's no place for the flow of the Holy Spirit. It's so limited. That's what God is not asking for. That's what God is not looking for. And Jesus mentioned that also. We shouldn't repeat continuously the same prayer. We shouldn't be involved in cultures. We shouldn't be involved in rituals the whole time, because then we're missing where it is all about. We should be allowing that the Holy Spirit can flow and that it can come and that it can work as whatever is necessary to work. I had that problem. I had that problem that I've been involved in church for a very long time, but I was doing the things which I thought was necessary to do. I've been a youth deacon, I've been a deacon, I've been a youth elder, I've been an elder, I've been the chairman of a financial committee, I've been all the things. But I do it for the church, but I wouldn't do it for God, because I didn't have a relationship with God. I knew who he was, but for me it was more important what people were saying about me and what people are thinking about me as what it was about the relationship with God. So I was totally missing it over there. I was one of those hypocrites. It was for me very important what other people were telling about me and what they were saying about me. And if there would be a weekly type of a magazine from the church that my name was written over there, that was important for me at that time. But now it doesn't matter. The only thing I want to do now is I want to serve the King of Kings. I want to serve God. I want to find out what he wants me to do. And if it's a strange thing, but he wants me to do it, then I'll do it. But I'll go and I'll listen because I want God to reign in my life. I want to be God, to be king in my life. I want to be in his kingdom, and I want to be his kingdom living in my life as well. So Jesus warns us for two things. We've got to be very careful that we're not going to live of what other people are going to say, that we are looking for that, and also that we're not going to get stuck with rituals, with culture, with certain procedures, which we make so important that we actually totally forget where it is all about. And that can sometimes happen in churches. And that's what we do not want to do. We want to let the Holy Spirit flow. And what I said just now as well, the kingdom of God, if God is reigning and if the Holy Spirit is flowing. And this is the message what I wanted to bring this afternoon. God is my king. You are my king. God is my king. So I want to, that God is reigning in my life, that he is most important in my life, that I'm not looking around for what other people are saying about me or not. And maybe majority of you people say this afternoon, no, that sermon, I'll forget about it. I don't mind. This is what I feel that I got from God, which I'm giving to you. They got songs which are exactly in the same line. We've got to make God king in our lives, but with a capital, with an uppercase. He must be really king. He must be reigning in our lives, and the Holy Spirit must flow through us. We must be open for that. And as soon as we're going to limit, as soon as we're going to sidetrack the king, then we're limiting the kingdom of God in our lives. Please stand. Heavenly Father, you're king, and there's nothing more important than you, Father. Because your kingdom starts when I'm allowing you to reign in my life. And Father, I don't want to have anything else, that you will reign in my life, and that the Holy Spirit will flow, and that I'm open to listen to you, what is your plans. And Father, as we're standing over here, and if all the eyes are closed, I'm going to ask if there's anyone who says, but God is not king in my life. I want to be in control. But this afternoon, the Holy Spirit is stirring my heart that I've got to change that. I've got to make God king in my life. He has got to be the most important one. I want to say also Father to him. I want to accept him as Creator of heaven and earth, and I'm part of his creation. And I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I want to be open that the Holy Spirit is flowing through me. If that's you, if you say, yes, I want to make that decision, this afternoon I publicly want to declare that I want to call God King of my life. And I'm inviting you to lift your hand that we can see that and that we can pray along with you. Thank you.
You are my king. Oh, joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you.
Show me love. Lord, took all my guilt and sin away. Jesus, you have won me. You've broken every chain with love and mercy. You've triumphed over death, and you are worthy of glory and praise.
Finish with one last shout.
Amen. So we shout it out and lift up one voice in worship, sing it out until all the earth can hear it. Jesus is alive and He saves. He rescues and saves.
Thank you, Jesus. We praise your name. Amen. Have a blessed week. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.